miles an hour over some hills and coasts in the north, but essentially most places will be dry. 11 degrees on some Irish Sea coasts, but many around 13 to 15 Celsius during the afternoon. For the north and west of Scotland, however, this is where we'll continue to see plenty of cloud, gusty winds and outbreaks of rain on and off, most persistent in the northwest highlands, and temperatures ranging from around 9 to 11 degrees. Wetter weather spreads into Scotland and Northern Ireland through the coming night, winds touching severe gale force. England and Wales go into Thursday in a dry start, but there's rain on its way to all. Caroline.
OK, thank you very much indeed, Matt. Now, in a change to our published schedule, another opportunity to hear Tony Benn in his own words in the second episode of Free at Last, our book of the week. Today, his diaries bring us to the third day after the 1992 general election. Despite his prediction that Labour would win with Neil Kinnock at the helm, John Major's government has returned to power and the bloodletting has begun.
Sunday the 12th of April 1992, Peter Shaw rang, very friendly, thanked me for going to help in his campaign and said, "You're the best leader we never had. You could have knocked me down with a feather." Apparently not only Neil is going, but Hattersley too. Potential candidates for the leadership to replace them are Smith and Beckett, Brian Gould, Gordon Brown, possibly Tony Blair. John Prescott for deputy. Actually, I don't give a damn who gets it, because I don't think it terribly matters. I think, on the whole, I'd prefer a right-winger who had to work with the left than a so-called left-winger who had to prove his responsibility by swinging to the right. So that's my feeling about it at the moment. Saturday, the 18th of July, 1992, I went to the Royal Horticultural Hall for the Labour Party conference to elect the leader. We just sat about waiting for the ballots, so I had a cup of tea and talked to Peter Shaw. Anyway, I stayed for the result and then slipped out. We have a new leader, John Smith, and Margaret Beckett as deputy. They've both won overwhelmingly, and everybody wants them to succeed. I'm just so pleased Kinnock has gone. Tuesday, the 10th of November, 1992. Came back to the Commons very, very tired, and just for fun looked up my biorhythms, which I don't usually do. But it is strange, because my physical and emotional cycles are both at the bottom and my intellectual cycle is at the top. I just thought I would see if there's anything in it, and sure enough, that is my position. Sunday the 17th of January 1993. The Sunday Mirror and the Sunday People have printed the Camillagate tape showing the Prince of Wales and Camilla Parker Bowles had a passionate affair and used to discuss it on their mobile phones, and it was picked up. It's got nothing whatever to do with anything serious, but it keeps people's minds off the slump and unemployment. Thursday the 1st of April 1993. One thing I must report, that over the last few days the phone has been very funny. If I dial a number, I'm immediately cut off and a voice says, "Don't redial," and I get reconnected instantly. It did occur to me that as I'm going to Ireland over the weekend, the security services might be beginning to take an interest in me. Thursday, the 8th of April, 1993, Stansgate. Melissa, our daughter, arrived by train from London, and we heard the fantastic news that she's expecting a baby in November. Funnily enough, I'd said to Caroline only last night, "I wonder if she'll ever have a child." She said, "Oh, I don't know." We're all so excited about the news. Tuesday, the 4th of May, 1993, in the tea room, John Hume, the SDLP MP, sat down next to me and I said, "I'm so glad you're talking to Gerry Adams, because I've always felt he had no more control over the IRA than the Sarajevo Serbs had on the situation in Bosnia." He said, "I'm not so sure about that." It's the first time he's spoken to me for ages, because he was so angry when I voted against the Anglo-Irish Agreement. Sunday, the 25th of July, 1993. The big news in the papers is that owing to the fact that a mic was left on after an interview by Michael Brunson, Everybody heard John Major saying that the cabinet ministers who disagreed with him and who were against the Maastricht Treaty were bastards. That really did do a tremendous amount of damage. 4 or 5 nights ago, I dreamed I was doing a meeting in Manchester in November when it was pelting with rain and terribly dark. And there wasn't a train that could get me back. So somebody said, why don't you fly a tiger moth back? You know how to fly. I thought, my God, do I remember how to fly a tiger moth? It will be pelting with rain and pitch dark. How do I get from Manchester to London? And I got really quite worried. I think what the dream was probably telling me was that I'm no longer a young man. I've got to recognise my limitations. But it was very vivid. Monday, the 27th of September, Labour Party Conference, Brighton. All the rumours are that I'm off the National Executive Committee. Lots of mates came round and sat next to me. Then the results were announced and my vote had dropped dramatically, so I was genuinely defeated. I'm really pleased to be off, actually, but at the same time, to be defeated is to be defeated. Anyway, to my amazement, the whole conference rose to its feet, turned round, and gave me a huge standing ovation. To have this great wave of conference sympathy was a bit overwhelming. I stood and clapped the conference back in the best European style. We went back to the flat and had baked beans. Tuesday, the 28th of September. I didn't want to be at the conference to hear John Smith's speech, because I know what happens. The television crews are given the speech in advance. Then whenever he makes an appropriate reference, they mark who they will show on the camera. So Kinnock used to say, we're fed up with hardline extremists, and the camera would flash on me. Or he'd say, what we want to do is to modernise the party, and they'd flash on to Tony Blair. So I went and sat on the stairs, where there was a television set that I could watch, and I could smoke without being spotted. It was a good Presbyterian, Labourite speech, the kind Attlee might have made, ruined by autocues, because the autocues make the whole thing look so totally insincere. There's no vitality, no sparkle in it. But it was a good speech, well presented, well read, well received. So that was that. Sunday, the 27th of March, 1994. The clocks went forward, and at 3:08 a.m. British summer time, the phone rang. We were both asleep, and it was Melissa's partner Paul saying that little Hannah Ben-Gordon, 8 pounds in weight, had been born at 2 o'clock this morning, and they were all fine. So we went back to sleep. Couldn't have been more exciting. Thursday, the 12th of May, 1994. John Smith died today. I first heard that he'd been taken ill, and then the Evening Standard rang, and finally it was confirmed. It is terribly sad. I liked him very much. He performed a completely different function from Neil Kinnock. He actually healed the wounds in the party. Tuesday, the 17th of May, 1994. The Labour leadership contest has begun in earnest, with Blair in the lead, Brown not knowing what to do, Prescott pushing, Beckett pushed aside, Cunningham ignored, Cook hopeful, will Ken Livingstone stand? The papers today are saying the party couldn't afford to have a special conference. It would all have to be done by postal ballot. But the national membership scheme isn't very accurate. It's a bit of a shambles. Thursday, the 19th of May, Edna O'Brien came to have tea with me. She must be getting on for 62, a very handsome woman, bright red hair, slim and glamorous. She wanted to talk about Ireland and is very committed to the Irish cause. She said she had published an open letter to President Clinton and he had invited her to have dinner with him in the White House. She said how she liked Neil Kinnock. I tried not to look too concerned about that. Friday, the 20th of May, 1994. I got up early and went to Heathrow to catch the 9 o'clock shuttle to Edinburgh for John Smith's funeral. The service was dignified, very much the Scottish Presbyterian establishment, really. There were people in the streets standing quietly and crying. It was very moving. At the reception in the Parliament House, I went to the PM and said, I just want to thank you for the tribute you paid to John. He caught Norma by the arm and said, now here is a man who never introduces personalities into his speeches. I said if I had a meeting in Chesterfield saying why I hate John Major, no one would listen. But if I said what prospects are there for work and jobs in Chesterfield, they would pour in. I realised at this stage I was going to miss my flight, so I turned to John and said, would you give me a lift in your jet? He said, of course I will. I'm going in a few minutes, so you'd better be ready. Ted Heath was also on board. Tea and sandwiches were served, and the Prime Minister came and sat down opposite me. I said, we were just talking about public expenditure cuts. He said, I wouldn't know anything about that. Then we got on to the question of leaks, and the Prime Minister said, it happens all the time now. People just think it's the right thing to do. I said, well, Wilson once tried to stop them. We spent so much time discussing one leak that we never got on to the cabinet business. And when we returned after lunch, there was a big headline in the Evening Standard saying, Wilson raises leaks in the cabinet. And somebody said, how did that get out? None of us left the room. And Harold said, I just don't know. Thursday the 2nd of June 1994, to BBC Television Centre, where Ted Heath and I and Margaret Ewing, a Scottish nationalist, and Claude Cresson, the former French Foreign Minister, were discussing the future of Europe. Before we went on the air, Ted Heath joked with me, when are you going to announce your candidature against Blair? I said, well, shall I do it during the programme? Well, said Ted, that would certainly take the attention off us, but you would be much the safest candidate to put up against him. I said, I suppose Blair is 100% with you on the European question. Absolutely, said Ted, as if Blair was one of his children. And I think that is the position. Ted is a bit curmudgeonly, an awkward old so-and-so, but I'm rather fond of him. Wednesday the 15th of June, 1994, to the campaign group where Ken Livingstone explained why he had withdrawn from the leadership contest. Jimmy Hood said who would have supported Ken if he had stood. Tony Banks said only Tony Benn and Skinner could get the 34 nominations. Ken has completely blown it and it's pointless now. I, said Tony Banks, shall nominate Margaret Beckett. Most people there want Beckett and not Prescott, but they all agree they don't want Blair. Thursday, the 23rd of June, 1994. I heard today that if Blair is elected leader of the Labour Party, there will be a vacancy on the constituency section of Labour's National Executive. And as I was the runner-up at the conference, I'll go back on the NEC from July to October. It amuses me no end that I shall have served with seven leaders of the party. I'm just tickled pink. Thursday the 21st of July 1993, at 11 o'clock the Electoral College met and predictably Tony Blair and John Prescott became leader and deputy leader. It was on television live. I watched Blair carefully because I've never heard him make a general speech and it was really quite radical. He talked about ending quangos and ending hereditary peers, about right and wrong, and I think he drew in part on Caroline's Keir Hardie, which he had reviewed very sympathetically. He did give people hope and vision. I think he's frightened the life out of the Liberals. It was a good and radical speech, and I have no complaint about it at all. Got in the car, came home, long traffic jams because of the Royal Garden Party, as usual, went off to Stansgate. The first thing I did was to take off my suit, put on an open-neck shirt, sandals, dirty old trousers, and really begin to enjoy the pleasures of being on holiday. Tuesday, the 26th of July, 1994. I went to Chris Moncrief's retirement party and had a friendly talk to Jim Callaghan. He said, I've just listened to another of your diary tapes programmes and you're so generous to me. I said, there you are. Do you remember the time I sewed a button on your suit at the Socialist International in Vienna? So we had a friendly old talk. I'm fond of Jim. He looked over at Blair. He's much taller than I thought, he said. I said, well, look at his heels.
Tony Blair, Tony Benn was reading extracts from his diaries 1991 to 2001. The producer was Jane Ray.